They're feeding the family, they're hosting an event, and they're coming back the next day saying, oh, it was fantastic, everyone loved it. You know, so you feel like you're sitting at the table with them and they're just raving about what they've received. That makes you feel good on the inside.
This is the Australian Butchers Guild Podcast, brought to you by Meat and Livestock Australia, the podcast for passionate butchers.
Welcome to episode 37 of the Australian Butchers Guild Podcast. I'm Doug Piper. Today I'm catching up with a couple of butchers from Victoria, Paul Clister and Maddie Tyquin. Paul is the owner of Ashburton Meats, located along a high street which is a bustling suburban area southeast of Melbourne. I was lucky enough to spend a day there a couple of weeks back and saw how the business ran, met all the team. They certainly are a very popular location in the street there, with a lot of the customers dropping in just to say good day as well as buying their meat. So here they are, Paul and Matt. Welcome, guys.
Hey, Doug.
How you going, Doug?
Not too bad. How are you guys?
Very good. A bit cold down here.
It is a bit chilly, yeah. We're rugged up. We're all right.
Yeah, well, she's a bit chilly here too, so no sympathy from me, mate. So how's business, Paul?
Yeah, we're still ticking over pretty good. Obviously, times have changed a bit with the cost of living and that, but we're still travelling along all right. Our customer count's good. Probably changed a little bit of their spending behaviours with a lot of the cheaper sort of stuff in the way of chicken fillets and sausages during the week. But by the time the weekend comes around, they're just ready to get stuck into a nice ribeye or a steak and or a roast. And they're spending more on the Friday, Saturday. If anything, they're probably eating out a bit less. So they're probably thinking, well, we can, you know, afford to buy something nice and have a nice dinner at home on the weekend.
Yeah, why not spoil yourselves, you know? So, yeah, a lot of guys are saying the same thing, and especially in food service, they're really, really struggling at the moment. Got a lot going against them with the weather as well. So just trying to get people to come out and eat in the food service sector is really tough. But it's good to see the butchers are getting a little bit of a backhander there, and especially on the weekends where they can pick up those extra few sales.
Yeah, definitely.
So guys, the shop is it's been there for quite some time now. Paul, you've been there, what, since 1989, 1990 or something?
Yeah, 89 I started here. The shop's been here well over 100 years.
Wow.
I started in 89, so when I was 14. It was a two-man butcher shop back then, and there were 6 butcher shops along the street.
Mm-hmm.
We're now at 10 staff, 2 butcher shops left in the street.
Yeah. That's a common occurrence, isn't it, these days? Going back into that period there was always, you know, at least half a dozen butcher shops in every area. And over the last sort of, right up till about the early 2000s, we saw a mass exodus of butchers in the areas, in the communities, you know, either trying to sell or walking out of their butcher shop. Nowadays, in some areas, there's no butchers there.
Yeah, 100%. I think you've got to be mindful and change with the times that are on hand, and you've got to do something different to survive this day and age.
Well, there's just so much competition out there with, you know, the supermarkets, and then you also got the QSRs, like the restaurant, the quick service restaurants, like your Macca's, your Domino's, Kentucky Fried. They're all competitors.
Certainly are.
So Maddie.
Yes.
You've done some great things in your relatively short career. You were studying biomedicine.
Yeah, so I started my, I guess, uni degree back in 2018. I did end up finishing it, so I am, a qualified biomedical scientist as well. But pretty much 2 weeks after the ceremony, I decided to do an apprenticeship. I thought lab life wasn't for me, and here I am. I haven't looked back since, really. So just being stoked with what the industry's given me so far.
Oh, that's great, mate. Yeah, you find a lot of butchers sort of, they start their butcher's apprenticeship and then they go, geez, the grass is always greener on the other side somewhere, and they jump the fence and go and do something else. But
yeah,
you're the opposite. You weren't happy with what you were doing, and you came into a trade which, you know, it's hard work, obviously, as you found out. Well, you weren't new to it anyway, because you were a cleanup boy in the shop for a while, weren't you?
Yeah, I did progress through the shop. While I was doing my, high schooling, I started when I was 15 here at Ashburton Meats, and pretty much throughout all my kind of schooling, I've been here, either being a counter hand or right up to pretty much starting my apprenticeship. Like, I was lucky enough to be, I guess, involved in some of the what goes on in a butcher shop, I guess, like, you know, a little bit of trimming here and there, bit of mincing, bit of all that sort of stuff, sort of giving me a taste of it before really jumping into an apprenticeship. So I knew what I was in for. Yeah, and it is a demanding job, but I think the reward outweighs all that sort of, I guess, the stuff that people get turned off by the butchering industry. You've got to kind of look past that and see what else it can offer you.
Your career, mate, I've got to say, I am really impressed with what you've achieved in such a small amount of time in the industry. Tell us a little bit about what you achieved a couple of years ago.
Yeah, so pretty much in 2022, I was lucky enough to have the opportunity to represent the country at the World Butchers Challenge, which, Doug, I'm sure you're familiar with. Australian Butchers Guild, a proud sponsor of it. We had another apprentice at the time here that tried out back in 2019, I believe, just before COVID hit, because obviously there was a postponed event when it was in America. And Shannon Walker, who was the team organiser, was ringing around and seeing if Steve was his name, if he was eligible to compete, but he wasn't. So he finished his apprenticeship and pretty much Paul put my name in the ring, and I guess I had to show what I could do through, I guess, online submissions. And yeah, I was lucky enough to be selected.
That's awesome, mate. And well, what was the achievement?
I was, I guess, crowned the world champion butcher apprentice. Yeah, it was a good feeling, that's for sure.
Yeah. The competition itself, how did that run?
We had 2.5 hours to break down and, I guess, prepare value-added recipes. I had a beef rump. I had a loin of pork with the chump left on it. I had a side of lamb and 2 chickens. And pretty much I had to go to town in 2.5 hours and make all these different products, utilizing everything, making sure everything was cookable. It was efficient. It was clean. You were very safe when you were working. In the end, yeah, I did end up doing all right in that regards. I mean, but that really just comes down to preparation I had before doing it.
And I suppose the support from the boss.
It was amazing, the support I had. So, you know, Paul obviously supplying a lot of the meat that I had to chop up. And, yeah, obviously giving me tips and pointers on what I could do with this rather than other things, kind of perfecting what we had going. And yeah, I even had support down Geelong way. I had Daniel from A Cut Above Butchers. He let me come down to his shop for a couple of months and work on some products with him. So I did have a really good support network leading into the competition. So yeah, very thankful for the place I'm at and the people I've got in the team.
That's awesome, mate. That's a great story. And it's just so nice to see, you know, boys outside of the shop also willing to put their hand up and give you some support and help. Daniel, I know Daniel quite well. Dan's a great guy and he's got a fantastic butcher shop down there. And I really do rate him as one of the better butchers going around with when it comes to value adding and running a shop. He's a rough, tough looking guy with all the tats all over him, but deep down, mate, he's such a really
ripper bloke.
Yeah, yeah. He's a bit like Paul, except Paul hasn't got the tats.
No tats, no.
That he's willing to show anyway.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Yeah, but Matt's been very humble. When I got a phone call from Shannon asking if Steve was still eligible for it, and he wasn't, and I put Matt's name in the ring, that still wasn't enough. Shannon still had to go to William Angler's TAFE and speak to the teachers and ask them who they would suggest as the best apprentice, and it all matched up with Matt, for starters. And then Matt wanted to do it, and I told him to go home that night and come back the next day and let me know if he really wants to do it, because it's like the Olympics of meats, and if you're going to do it, you're not doing it half-heartedly. He come back the next morning, keen as mustard. We had a lot of late nights, like we're talking midnight, doing full run-throughs. Matt was ringing Daniel, asking Daniel if he could go down there and spend days in his shop on his day off. To Matt's credit, he deserved it, and it just goes to show if you really want something, you can achieve it.
And as an employer, Paul, how did you benefit from it? Like, you know, with the competition and I suppose the fame of having a fantastic butcher working for you?
Well, to sit there over in Sacramento, which was equivalent to our Rod Laver Arena, and to see your apprentice there that you've known since he started here as a cleanup boy competing against 16 other countries, it was unbelievable. And I had goosebumps all over me. It was just amazing. To come back to the shop, everyone wants to come in and see Matt and get around him. We've had heaps of media in the shop and different podcasts and 3AW interviews. And so the exposure's just been really good.
That support's paid for itself tenfold. Not that that's what it was about, but it's just the benefits of something like this that you can achieve and how good it is for the business.
Yeah, I see the bigger picture of it. So those owners that have got apprentices working for them and are too worried about them missing out on a day's work because they're off doing something else, if they get through and win something like this, it's well and truly worth every single cent that you've spent on it.
Oh, for sure.
Overall, though, I think having this sort of, I guess, acknowledgement in the industry puts butchering, I guess, in the limelight because, you know, when people go off and do a trade, they're, you know, they want to be a bricky, they want to be a sparky, chippy. There's not really butchering at the forefront. So I guess having this sort of platform might steer people in the direction of joining the meat industry because it is a rewarding industry and doesn't cop enough love as it should.
You're spot on there, mate. It doesn't get enough recognition. The chefs have had a bit of their limelight with MasterChef and all those guys out there, and it only really affects probably half a dozen people when you're talking about MasterChef and that. But when you're looking at butchery, you know, we're all very equal.
Yeah, I think it's more of a craftsmanship now or a craftspersonship. You've got to start thinking outside the square and come up with different ideas, but yeah, it's really rewarding now.
I noticed that you do a lot of branding in your shop too, Paul.
Yeah. So I have my own Paul's Fine Food range, which is over 31 lines of different condiments, pasta sauces. We do our own wines. We also have our own brand in the way of Gippsland Pure Beef and Gippsland Lamb Co. with our lamb. So obviously the customers now, the more you can tell them about their product that they're consuming, the better.
The Gippsland meat that you're buying, so you've got a relationship with the farmers down in that region?
We do. So my business partner for over 7 years was a farmer down Tarwin Lower, Colin McMicken. He sourced all the beef and lamb from the farm down there and did all that side of things, and I looked after the shop. And I bought him out completely 7 years ago. Look, we still have contacts down that way, so we still get it all from down Gippsland region, but all grass-fed.
It's good to have that knowledge where your beef comes from and your lamb comes from, where all your products come from, really, and it just makes the customers feel a lot better about it, I think, because you know where it's from, you know that it's been properly produced.
Yeah, and with Matt's background too, we were heavily involved with the MSA side of things, doing the grading and all the specs behind that. So Matt's got a great future ahead of him.
So, Matty, we haven't really announced it yet, but we're going to announce it today. So we've actually, MLA, or the Australian Butchers Guild, have a new ambassador group, and we have chosen you as one of our starters. So I'd like to say thanks for jumping on board for being one of our ambassadors for the butchery industry, and we're really looking forward to doing some great things with you in the future. We're looking at more of the younger side of the industry, so we've got four young butchers in the team of our ambassadors and a couple of mature ones, to bring a little bit of stability and a good crossover across the whole industry. You guys will be assisting us to just more or less network better with other butchers in the trade and through your peers as well.
Yeah, it's obviously an honour being, I guess, considered for an ambassador role. I think it's good having a kind of a younger crowd doing it, because at the end of the day, the industry itself has to evolve as well. So we need young people in the trade to ensure that butchers are still sticking around. I'm more than happy to put into these programs to make sure that, I guess, the trade still thrives, because, I mean, what the trade's done for me as a whole thus far, I think, give back a little bit to what I've received. It's been a fantastic journey so far. More than happy to.
Yeah, no, we appreciate you giving up your time and Paul, for you allowing Matty to come and join us and do a little bit of work for us along the way.
Well, I'm bloody proud of him, mate. So, yeah, I'm all for what he achieves at Skull.
Were you tearing up before?
Me? No, never.
Yeah, I thought I saw you wipe your eye, mate. So, Matty, what's your favourite part of being a butcher? If you were going to encourage someone to come into the industry, what would you be saying to them?
Being able to do something that not a lot of people can do. I think that's like a point of difference. I mean, not a lot of people can do what we do. It's a very, like Paul said before, it's a craft. What, I guess, keeps you motivated is you make something for a customer, you cut something for a customer. You know, they're feeding a family, you know, they're hosting an event and they're coming back the next day saying, oh, it was amazing. You've hit the nail on the head. It was fantastic. Everyone loved it. You know, so you feel like you're sitting at the table with them and they're just, you're raving about what they've received, and, you know, that makes you feel good on the inside. And I guess, obviously, it reinstates that butchers are, you know, a very niche sort of place where people can come, they get a fantastic service and an excellent product.
So, yeah. Paul, what about you, mate? If you were to encourage a young butcher into the industry, mate, what would you be saying to them?
I just think it's endless opportunity. I think it's only as good as the staff that you work with. You have a good crew. It's not work. It's really feels rewarding. And, you know, I get up every day and absolutely love what I do. I can't say any of my mates actually love going to work, but the environment's really good. It's very creative. You've got to think outside the square, as I said, about coming up with different products, different marinades we make in blenders. So it's what you see on MasterChef, but a lot more to it.
You not only have Maddie there who's into the competitions, but Jim too. Jimmy had a crack recently for the team too, didn't he?
Yeah, so Jim went up with Matt and tried out for
the apprentice category.
Yeah, the apprentice category for next year. And, he did the shop very proud as well.
Yes.
So, in other words, watch his space with Jim coming through. He's still got a few years ahead of him. But also outside of that, we had another apprentice, Corey Robertson, that won Apprentice of the Year for Victoria. And he's now actually training other apprentices with the Butcher Club. So, yeah, we've had a lot of success with the young blokes here at the shop, but obviously nothing as good as the world's number one.
No. I love the way that you've actually got it emblazoned across the front of the shop too, mate. And when I was there the other day, it was really cool to see. We were out the front taking photos of Matt in front of the signage, and one of your customers walked up and took a selfie with him and Matt. You know, just so cool to see people having a bit of fun and really, you know, getting into the spirit of it still. Like, that was like 2 years ago.
Yeah, as I say, that if you want to put in, you can achieve anything. Like, still gives me goosebumps today, you know, watching these young apprentices come through and that, getting stopped for selfies and things like that. It's just priceless.
I get a lot of feedback from butchers about the competition, and some of it's good, most of it's good, and you get the odd one that says, why wasn't I chosen? Well, to start with, you've got to put your hand up to go in it. You just don't get asked to go in a competition. You've got to show some interest in it. And then there's, as Maddie pointed out before, you've got to be prepared to stand in front of people and do it. It's not like being in a butcher shop with a counter between you and the customer, which is your barrier. You've got people walking around, talking to you, looking at you, watching what you're doing. And like at meat stock, like that's quite nerve-wracking. I've judged a couple of meat stocks and I've been up there on the stage. You look out there in the crowd and you go, whoa, you know, look at all these people there watching everything that you guys do. And that does make it a little bit uneasy, doesn't it, Matt?
It certainly does, especially when they shove a microphone in your mouth. Want you to start talking, because obviously you're there to entertain as well. So,
and that's a big skill to be able to do that, to be able to talk and work at the same time and do it properly as well. So, you know, hats off to all the guys that go in any of the competitions. But at the end of the day, if you're looking at doing that, you're going to be very uneasy to start with. And the more you do it, the better you're going to get at it. You basically block the public out. And you just do what you've got to do, but you've still got to have your ears open to listen to what's going on around you. So it's nothing different than being in a butcher shop, really, is it?
Not really, no.
Just a lot more people in front of you.
That's exactly right.
Just keep your head down and block it out. That's what I say to them. But it's funny because just before we went out and competed at meat stock, we had enough nerves as it is, and then Shannon said to us, all right, you're an absolute rock star. Go out there and get on.
Did you compete in it too, Paul? Have you competed in it?
I did. Yeah, I did compete in it with Matt. So, yeah.
All right, cool.
I thought it might break his nerves a bit too by having me go and do it. So,
yeah, good idea. Paulie, you've been around for a while. So how have you seen the trade change over the last 10 to 15 years?
A lot of shops when I started, even at this shop here, half our meat was not even under refrigeration in this shop when I started. And my boss at the time had the old butcher block and had his cigarette burning on the actual block as he was serving customers and that. But the traditional cuts are still there, but you've got to think a bit more than that now. And as I say, we're doing a lot of value adding and a lot of different marinades we're making from scratch in a blender with no preservatives or no numbers at all. We've actually got a marinade book that I've bought that has different cuisines in it. So if you want to make a marinade from that country, it will have all the ingredients there so you can make it from scratch. We just had a beef Wellington before that we made this morning and cooked up to sample it and see if it was up to scratch. So you get the little perks of that too, of trying new products and definitely the value adding side of things. And look, with all the allergies and that out there now, you really need to know exactly what's in the food, and the more you can tell them, the better.
Yeah, they want to know exactly what they're eating, especially if they've got someone with an allergy in the family, that's for sure.
Yeah, definitely. But things like sausages and stuff like that, instead of just using your standard sausage meals, start using fresh ingredients and just try and be, one step ahead of everybody else.
Definitely. Look, guys, it's been great catching up with the pair of you, and I really appreciate what you guys are doing for the industry, both of you, Maddie as an ambassador and as an all-round good guy, and you too, Paul, as an employer and a very supportive employer for all your employees. Nothing was a trouble if we needed something, so I really appreciate your help there too, mate.
Not a problem at all, thank you.
Alrighty, Matt. Getting to know Matt Tyquin a little bit better, so Maddie, I've got some questions here for you. What is your favourite steak?
My favourite steak would have to be the Scotch fillet. I did dabble with a bit of porterhouse recently, but it's always been Scotch fillet for me.
What would you bring if you were to take one item to a deserted island?
It might seem a bit stupid, but insect repellent, mate.
Oh, don't blame you, mate. Who wants mozzies all over you?
Nah, can't.
You watch Survivor, you see those buggers.
Yeah.
And who do you follow in the footy?
The Mighty Bombers, mate.
Sorry.
Yeah.
If there was anywhere in the world where you could be right now, where would it be and why?
Well, I'd love to go back to the Amalfi Coast in Italy. I was there last year and it was picturesque. Love to go back, that's for sure.
All righty, Paul. So what's your favourite cut of beef or lamb?
My favourite cut's porterhouse steak. It serves medium.
Beautiful. Same as me, mate. What's your favourite value add line in the shop?
We do a chicken enchilada, which is very, very nice.
Do you have a beef one?
Sorry. We've got beef Wellingtons. My beef Wellington's very good.
And your favourite footy team?
No, I'm Collingwood fan. So,
Brother.
Go the pies.
And what's your favourite pastimes out of these three things? Gardening, knitting, or motorsports?
Absolutely. It's none of them, mate. None of them do anything for me.
Really? Oh, no motorsports?
I'm not into gardening. I hate digging a hole. And motorsports, I've never really been into the motorsports either.
So it's knitting then?
My favourite would be the Olympics and meets.
Well, I guess that's another perk of the industry. You don't have to dig a hole.
No, that's right. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Very good, guys. Look, thanks a lot for your time today, fellas. Really appreciate it. Great to see you again.
No worries, Doug. Thank you.
Catch us later.